Shalom and good evening to you all. Good morning to some and afternoon to others, but a hearty hello nonetheless. I want to welcome you guys back here to Podbean, to Scriptures and Scuttlebutts here on Leanne Grace Out Loud. It seems as though there's been some upgrades since we've taken our sabbatical, and I haven't found some of the buttons that play the music, so we're going to go without music, without intro, with all the fanfare. We're just going to come right on out and say good evening. It is May 28th, 2021, and we're broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert, and I am your host, Leander Grace. And as some of you may have noticed, maybe some of you didn't, I have been gone for just a little while, not just off air, but also, for the most part, I've been offline as well. So we'll get to some of the whys of that and what's going on of it here in a minute. So we're going to finish up this seven-week series that we started just where we left off tonight, guys. We have some corrections to make to my last broadcast. My goodness, I re-listened to it. It seems as though I had some trouble with some names that night. And I re-listened to the broadcast and found myself saying, Paul said, when clearly John wrote, and thus the little John reference by Holy Spirit trying to get me my attention in the middle of the broadcast, and I totally missed that one like a big dog. So I thought I'd clear that one up tonight at the beginning of the broadcast, kind of made me chuckle at myself. But, you know, we got the message across nonetheless, and, you know, I think it's kind of funny. In a humbling sort of way, messed up the authorship and the Holy Spirit clue. And of course, we'll address that tonight because when the student is ready, the teacher appears. It is a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of that one thing. The Great Awakening still continues to accelerate across the face of the earth, and we diligently contend for the faith, and Holy Spirit stands waiting to be invited. Guys, the harlot's in the house, the thief is still at the door, and it's time to come away from the tents. We are at war. Do not make a mistake, and do not be deceived. You know, we are still at a spiritual war at its core. Now, we're winning. The good guys are winning, and prayer is where it begins. Prayer helps. So we're not in the battle alone. Remember, tonight's broadcast, we talk about the spiritual battle where we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We're going to talk about those, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And this evening, our topic this evening is going to hit on that, and I wrote it down and had it clipped and all of that stuff. We're going to ask the questions, does sin beget wickedness, or does wickedness beget sin? Not really a chicken and the egg thing, if you read the creation story correctly, but it is this question as humans walking a spiritual path, walking, trying to do what God wants, trying to figure out, you know, the difference between what is and what has been taught and where maybe we could do some improvement and some learning. Now, let's ask that question because it fits right into the whole issue of wickedness that we talked about last week and a couple weeks ago. Well, the last episode and a couple episodes ago. It's been about 60 days nearly since I've been on air, and I needed the rest. I needed the separation. I needed some learning time, some downtime, some rest time. And it seems that anytime I start to get ready to talk about wickedness, all of a sudden things start happening around. You know, the attacks begin and just little spiritual attacks here and there. And I want to talk about those tonight too, because I had a really good conversation with somebody else in my radius that about this wickedness and how the spiritual attacks occur and why they occur and what the people think they're doing and what's really going on and how wickedness can be used and used us. Actually, wickedness uses us and sees us how we can be used for its means. We'll talk about that this evening. And I'll tell you guys, not everything, of course, I say every broadcast, I'm not going to hear to tickle your ears. You know, I'm going to make you uncomfortable because I have found that it is discomfort that makes me move. And I think the scriptures just throughout says that that's basically what gets us out of our comfortable chairs and back into the game and our hands in the masses. So I tell you, folks, we're not going to tickle the ears, but I encourage you to hang on, hang out nonetheless, and follow us through to see if we can't put some of these truths together. And there's a bigger picture that's been painted and is being painted even now until the return of HaMashiach Nagid. So research what you hear tonight, own your own experience, put on that Berean attitude, and here we go. We're going to go ahead and do an hour broadcast, guys. I don't plan on taking any breaks because I don't have filler music uploaded to do so. So we're just going to talk until I run out of things to say or until the 2 hour mark, whatever comes first. It'll probably just be an hour. The sun is setting here on the high mountain desert, and I do want to be off the air before it's completely dark. It is Sabbath, is it not? So we're going to continue to study to show ourselves approved. And that is out of 2 Timothy 2:15. So the question is, does sin beget wickedness or does wickedness beget sin? And I was sitting with this question as soon as I brought it up, 2 months ago, and then other things came into play. And then a teaching session began. I had some learning that I needed to do with some things. And then, guys, I want to share you, I wasn't going to, but I'm going to go ahead and share off the top of the hour, you know, it seems as though Holy Spirit's done some revealing of some things to me, not any great spiritual truths for anybody other than me, you know, and I've told you guys that we're trying to build a ministry here and go forward with it. It has to do with children and all that and some other things going forward. I'm not ready to reveal all of it, but guys, I want to tell you, you know, when you're out there fishing for little nibbles to see who wants to join in this great big thing that you want to do, and you know, when you got this thing God gives you and it's bigger than you, and you're like, okay, God, I need help. And he's like, no, you don't. Yeah, I do. No, I don't. No, I do. And then you're finally convinced that you need help and God sends the help. So it's cool. And you notice that I said, God, I need help. He says, no, you don't. And then I become convinced because that's kind of how it works. I'm going to see how this works throughout, how we're trying to convince God when actually we're convincing ourselves sometimes. I think that's what it is. So does sin beget wickedness or does wickedness beget sin? Now, remember last episode, we talked about the Ten Commandments. We talked about all the laws fulfilled in this, but you can't have the two without the ten. The ten is the roadmap to the two. Right. By the time we get to the two, it's written on our hearts. But in order to do that, we kind of practice the ten. And they never go out of fashion. They are our directions to good living, to living without wickedness. Oh, my goodness. You know, back in the garden, people say that, you know, God was trying. There is a school of thought. Rather than saying people say, because everybody says people say, but there is a school of thought, and it has to do, one of those, the word will come to me, that group of folks that, the Gnostics and all that, they, you know, they have these schools of thought, and I think some of the Mormon teaching and the deeper teachings of them, they, you know, they actually thank Mother Eve for sinning so that they could have the knowledge. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. There are some schools of thought and some congregations and some religions today that actually believe, Gnostics and I believe the Mormons also, are actually grateful for the original sin of rebellion, being deceived. And then the original sin was rebellion by Adam and partook of the fruit. So the rebellion, people are saying that they're grateful for that so that we could have the knowledge. We'll understand that there was something that God did not want us to know. And I'm going to say this on the outset, you know, and as a parent, I can say that there were things that I did not want my child to know. I did not want, just as God did not want, I did not want my child to know wickedness. I did not want my child to know wickedness. God did not want his children to know wickedness, but they chose it. We chose it. Our ancestors, our patriarchs, our lineage begins in choosing rebellion, choosing to know wickedness. So what comes first? Is it the wickedness or the sin? Or is it something else? Oh, we have maybe perhaps another variable. Perhaps another variable. Now, most of my work is done in ego work and how the ego is used by the adversary and how our ego gets trapped with other egos in games and stuff. I mean, this is kind of the things that I do in my line of work and in my ministry. And I bring the scriptures into it because I know that in every ego battle, there is a spiritual battle being played that is being instigated by the adversary. And even if you know the Lord, even if you're a child of God, he will instigate battles against you. And even if he cannot, the adversary cannot get to you personally, the adversary can get to the people around you to cause a spiritual attack. Now, these people may be used and not even know why they're spiritually attacking you, or they don't see it as a spiritual attack. They have a very good ego justification for it. And then the adversary can use that maladjusted ego who wants to get their ego needs met against anyone. And that is the nature of the spiritual war. So how do we fight this besides on our knees? Because we're instructed that this is, we have to have the full armor of God on when we go to war. The full armor of God. You know, the helmet and the breastplate, this and the that and the other and the feet and the shoes and the shield and the sword. Why is that? Why is it that we have to have the whole armor of God? Why can't we leave the shoes at home? Because that's where the adversary will attack. Why can't we leave our shield of faith at home? Because that's where the adversary will attack. Why can't we leave the sword of truth at home? Because that's where the adversary is going to attack. Everywhere a piece of armor is listed, you can be sure that that is where the adversary is going to attack. And so if we're properly armored with our full shield and all that and all the rest, then he can't attack. He'll be absolutely unable to do so, because we'll be looking for the lies as we hold the sword of truth that cuts both ways. We'll be able to keep in the faith, hold that shield of faith when all of those gnarly attacks of self-doubt, oh, the attacks of what? The attacks of self-doubt. Which attacks of self-doubt? Where are your wounds? That's where the adversary will attack. If you are unsure of a certain area in your life, that is where the adversary attacks. If you have no weak points, he will use the weak points of others against you during a spiritual attack. You say, well, Leanna Grace, that means you've got to be paranoid against everything. Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, although it is kind of like being in the middle of the matrix sometimes, knowing that anyone who was not spiritually fit is subject to become a Smith. It's just kind of the way that is. I had that conversation with somebody else last week. You know, the adversary, for those who are doing it, fighting the spiritual war, for those who are warriors and really going at it, and even for those who have solid families that hold together in a tight knit, real close families, they're subject to attack. Why? Because it's an all-out onslaught against God's people. And it doesn't matter which denomination you are. If you love the Lord, you are subject to attack during this time right now. And sometimes we call it cancel culture. Sometimes. But we tend to, within the church, sometimes cancel each other out. And we'll get to that in another broadcast. So what comes first, the wickedness or the sin? Well, let's go back to the law. Remember, why was the law written? The scriptures tell us. Paul tells us, and it was Paul that tells us, and Acts was written by Luke as a testament to Paul. But Paul tells us, you know, and Jesus told us, the law was written to show us what sin looks like. Because if we don't know, we're subject to it. So in other words, here we are coming out, the children of Egypt, of Israel coming out of Egypt. They had all of those other rules, customs, mores, expectations, social norms, cancel culture in Egypt, I'm sure. They had all of that there too. So when they came out as a nation to be formed as a nation, right? God said, okay, so here are the rules. There's a whole lot more to the story than this, but we're going to simplify it for the broadcast. Here's instructions. If you keep these 10 instructions, if you hold to these 10 instructions, you're going to do fine. And he told him again, he told Joshua when they started to enter the land, he got half on one side, half on the other, and repeated back and forth. These are the blessings and these are the curses. If you follow the law, these are the blessings. If you don't follow the law, these are the curses. Now, is God zapping them to toast? No. What I see is a cause and an effect. If you follow these rules, the inevitable outcome will have blessings attached to it for you, your people, your nation, yada, yada, yada. And if you don't, you can be guaranteed the inevitable outcome will be curses. And because you turn away from me, I can't help you. Isn't that what God said? If you do what I say, these are the blessings. If you don't do what I say, you're going to have some curses. That's the inevitable outcome. And because you turned away from me and wouldn't follow my law, I can't help you until you come back into alignment through repentance and back into my law, back into it. Now, let's talk a little bit about sacrifice. I want to talk about this for just a minute, because this came up in another conversation I had with somebody a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I want to bring this to the broadcast. I made a little note right here. When God was talking about sacrifice, remember, there's also in the prophets told her that God often said, you know, I am so sick of your sacrifice. I am tired of the blood of sheep and goats. And I'm going to paraphrase here, and I'm going to challenge you to find it in the scriptures. It's in the prophets. And God says to him, not only is he like, am I tired of your feasts and your goats and your blood and your this and your that, I'm tired of it. And I always thought, you know, when God said, you know, that, I thought, well, you set it up, right? Me as an uneducated person and in the scriptures, my thinking before was like, well, God, you set it up. Why are you tired of it? If you set it up, I mean, really, that's what was my question. I didn't question God. That was my question to try to make sense of it. And so in looking at that, this is the way I see it. Is that, no, I'd get tired of it too. And I want to, you know, we always take a look at the scriptures and a look at the global view through a scriptural lens. Let's take a look at our main streets today. You know, there's a lot of crime going on. And for some people, they have to pay fines. And for some people that have to pay fines, they don't care that they have to pay fines. They're going to do it again. I'm one of those people. I got to tell you, there's something that I will always do. And if I get caught, I'll have to pay a fine. And that is, I have a tendency to go a little faster than the posted speed limit. That's just what it is. And if I get pulled over, then I'll have to pay a fine. Is it going to make me slow down? Maybe a little bit sometimes, but eventually in my nature, I learned to drive in Europe. I'm going to be going a little bit faster than the speed limit just as a comfort zone and paying a fine. Okay. I just won't get caught too often. Guys, I'm being real honest. That's my thinking on the speed limit law. Is it a good law? Yes. Should we all obey it? Absolutely. Do I always know? And I'm willing to pay the fine. So when you have a whole community of people, the children of Israel, a whole nation of people that are now willing to slaughter all the goats that it takes just so that they can have all of the debauchery and wickedness that they want. If you were in God's shoes, let's not be blasphemous, but if you were the one in charge, would you not also say the same? I am sick of this. I am sick of your sacrifices, because your heart is not changing. So what's the difference between then and now? Now we've been promised that the law will be written on our hearts, that our heart will change, that our character will change, that our mind will change, our desires will change, our focus will change, and nothing about blood of sheep and goats is going to make that happen. Except the Holy Spirit of God. No wonder God got worn out, abusing his festivals, abusing his way of grace through animal sacrifice of sheep and goats rather than of men. The price of sin, blood must be shed. The shedding of blood must occur. And they shed a lot of blood. It was a slaughterhouse, come the feasts. A lot of blood. Not just the festivities of having a meal with God, but the sacrifices, the sin sacrifices, the atonement sacrifices. They were slaughtering their animals to cover their sin. but their heart wasn't changing. Are we different today? Question. Are we Northern Kingdom Christian Ecclesia, the lost sheep, the ones who Christ came for? Are we different today? And if we are, how much different? And if we are, how so? Because we are called upon to sacrifice with our lips his praise. That means give all the glory to him. We sacrifice all praise to him. But do we do that? Do we say, I'm so glad God gave me this opportunity? Do we say, like Nebuchadnezzar did, look what I built? I'm subject to falling into the look what I built from time to time. I have to keep a watch on it. So are we keeping a watch on it? Are our hearts changing? Or are we looking forward to that Sunday where we can be reassured that once saved, always saved, even if your heart's not changed? Because the sanctification is a process. Now, in other episodes and other programs, we talk about the grooming process, and we're talking about something very abusive and very mind-twisting and very mesmerizing and emotionally damaging behavior. The opposite is the change that God can bring about in sanctification, to undo those damages, those damaged thinking things, those damaged ways of looking at the world. You know, God's not about taking our fun away. I do think he needs us to redefine our idea of fun. I don't think that God wants to take our pleasures away. He gave us pleasure sensors and senses. I do think we might want to temper it, our pleasure centers, and gather them in and bridle them to something that looks less animalistic and more glorificating. I don't know what the word would be, but look better for God. So how does this work? How does this come about? What came first, the sin or the wickedness? The wickedness or the sin? Well, the scriptures tell us that the wicked heart, man's heart is wicked. So according to the scriptures, our heart tends toward wickedness. Does that mean that I believe? Now, I got to talk about this. I've heard some preaching in the churches. I've heard some pulpits give the words that says that little innocent baby that you're looking at, just born, is evil and wicked and full of sin. And I say, I call bullshit. Yes, I'm a minister. Yes, I have a mouth. And no, I won't apologize. That is the most damaging, twisting statement. The most absolutely emotionally and self-image destructing piece of information that's not even true that can be put forth into a young person's mind. We are born into wickedness. That is this world. Some hearts may be born wicked. Those are the ones that hurt the kids. They're not the kids. Let's get this straight. Are kids born wicked? No. They're born human. They're born perfect image of God. Even those who may have some chromosomal differences, they're still made in the image of God. They still are afforded grace, perhaps even more so than the regulars. So what is this wickedness? Well, if we go back to the garden, the lesson, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, if you want to know what it is, you will experience it. If they wanted to know what evil is, they opened their eyes to experience it. If we want to know what wickedness is, it's out there to experience it, waiting for it. And usually it brings candy. What do you mean by that, Leanna Grace? Well, Let me back up just a bit. Wickedness thrives on breeding. It can't thrive unless it grows. It doesn't exist in a vacuum. It needs buddies. Just like we like to be around those of us who are like us, you know, good-hearted folks that you can trust and all that, they like to be around those who manipulate. And manipulate truths and manipulate feelings, manipulate perceptions. And the reason to manipulate the truth and the perceptions is so that the person willingly does what the wickedness wants. And then the wickedness holds the victim responsible. Look what I got you to do. Look what you did. When all along it was a trusting soul, trusting someone who happened to be wicked. Now I want to take that picture right there and I want to talk about it just for a little bit. I want to delve into it. So a couple of things happen in that picture. One, we've got someone who thought they were going to have a good outcome following someone who was wicked that they did not know was wicked. And the person didn't know that what they were doing was wicked. So now the person who's wicked goes to the innocent and says, look what you did. And now the innocent carries the guilt. Now what does the innocent do with that guilt? Well, that guilt then takes on its own actions to cover itself up, even though there's no need. And then what starts is a propagation and a cycle of deceit and cover-up, denial, and it gets deeper and deeper and deeper until what I refer to, and my mentor taught me the actual verbiage of, Debbie Ford taught me the verbiage, a shadow is formed. And we'll talk about that on Holistic Truth and the Shadow Process. Next Wednesday, we're going to talk about empathy. We're talking about empathy 101, what empathy really is, what psychology says it is, what I have come to believe that it is. I'll present my case, and I've presented it to other professionals, and they see the way of it, so we'll present it again on here. It was a class I used to teach. Empathy 101, we'll talk about mistakes, all of those things, talk about who felt it first. Empathy is a trip. It's going to take a couple of weeks to get through, but that's not what I'm here to talk about, although our empathy does lead us to errors of compassion that can get us trapped in these very traps that we have. So what comes first, the wickedness or the sin? I believe the wickedness. And then there are other times that the sin does, and then a belief in it comes to cover it up. Remember what God said to who was it? David. He said, look, not only did you do that, but not only did you do all of this, but then you tried to cover it up by doing that. That's really bad. And so the wickedness and the sin propagated by trying to cover itself up, doing more and more wickedness. It is unrelenting, it is ever thirsty, and it will take on a mind of its own. It is a contagion if you are around it. It is highly contagious wickedness, which is why good Christian parents keep their children a home and secluded and away and under a watchful eye, because a wise parent knows what wickedness looks like. Knows what it looks like. The child does not. The child isn't supposed to. That's what the parent is for. So as we have wickedness reaching its hands out, wickedness growing out and trying to grab, what happens when a light comes up? What happens amongst a bunch of lies and darkness? A truth teller comes up. What does wickedness do then? And what if wickedness has no hold on the person, but only the others around it? Now, the reason that I'm presenting the whole broadcast to you in what happens when this, what happens when that, is because every listener has a different knowledge bank and a different experience bank that they're going to bring to this. I cannot make those definitions because everyone has a different field of experience that's listening to the broadcast. Everyone has seen it play out different. Everyone has seen it differently. Everyone has even perhaps been involved in traps and wickedness themselves. That doesn't mean all hope is lost. You know, God, Jesus loves everybody. God can do that. But when we own what we've done, we can see it in others a lot easier. Another way that wicked propagates. If wickedness cannot make the innocent commit a wicked act, then the wickedness will project their own wickedness upon the innocent. In an accusation, in a label, we've heard this before, psychology speech is becoming pretty mainstream now. It's projection speech. And what I learned in dealing with shadows and the ego and how it helps us and how it maybe not help us, what I learned is to trust, first of all, to trust my ego. Now that sounds kind of funny. It can be a trickster, but even in its tricks, it can tell you what it's trying to say. So in the shadow process, and in the projection, let's say, for instance, let me pick out a situation that is going to be kind of neutral. Well, no, I'm not going to. Well, yeah, I really kind of do need to pick out a neutral situation. So let's say, for instance, that, you know, I'm talking with my girls, my girlfriends on the porch, having a porch party with my girlfriends, and we're sipping and perhaps we start to gossip just a little bit. Not that I would, but perhaps it would happen. And someone says, well, you know, Mary Jo did this and this. That's not so bad. That's just a statement of fact. And then the other person says, well, you know, Mary Jo only did this because blah, 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 blah. That begins the wickedness. That begins the trial without jury. That begins the accusation without evidence. And that's when we stand in the judgment seat and open ourselves up to be accused. So in projecting, actually, the person is calling out. Now, how does this person know what that other person thinks? Well, they don't. So if I'm telling you that Mary Jo only did that because blah, 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 understand that I only have the knowledge base that I have. I can only see what I've experienced. You know, I cannot make up an argument for something that I don't know anything about. So invariably, when I'm telling you the whole motivation of why Mary Jo did what Mary Jo did because only Mary Jo, and you know what Mary Jo, because she just thinks Mary Jo and this is why she does it, all I'm doing is revealing to the other person what my ego would probably do in that position. That ugliness is in me if I'm saying it's in her, because I can't say it's in her and say that I recognize it, even if it's a misrecognition, if it's not already in me. How am I going to know that that's ugliness if I don't know what ugliness looks like? And how am I going to know what it looks like if it's not in me? So is there ugliness in me? Yeah, there's ugliness in me. Try to keep it at bay. But there's a lot of other good stuff in me too. And at times, the spiritual attack, the wickedness, will do all it can to keep you from seeing all of the good that's in you as well, and want you to focus on fixing the bad, fix the bad, fix the bad, fix the bad, instead of celebrate the good, celebrate the good, celebrate the good. So when we're dealing with wickedness, it's usually one-sided, it's accusatory, it is judgmental, and it never takes responsibility for itself. Wickedness will project its guilt, its stuff onto someone else and have a really good, seemingly good justification for it and never quite understand that it takes two to make a situation and they can't take responsibility. The wickedness will not allow it. So as long as someone's covering up their egos with the wickedness and all that stuff and in their ego dance, those are the folks that are likely to attack. Those are the ones that leave themselves open to be used by wickedness to attack others. So Leanna Grace, you're saying attack and wickedness and this and that. Yes. If we aren't doing right, we know it. And the Holy Spirit will hold us account, but also the adversary will accuse. And I've talked about this on another broadcast. When God puts his hand on you to use you, the first thing the adversary does is object. He will make an objection. We see that in the book of Job. Right? And God says, hey, here's my servant Job. Have you considered? He goes, yeah, he only loves you because yada, yada, yada. A legal challenge was on the table. Job went through a lot because of the adversary's legal challenges. Did he have a legal challenge? Yep. Otherwise, God wouldn't have seen it and raised it. So I suggest folks read the book of Job. It's really awesome. You can get stuck in the middle sometimes. Let me give a synopsis. Basically, Job's not doing anything but serving God. God kind of likes it. He says, hey, you know, to the council. Satan happened to be on the council at the time. Still is. Have you considered Job? He's like, nope, he's only acting good because you treat him good. Right? So we took some stuff away. Nope, if you take away his health, he'll hate you. That didn't work. And if that wasn't bad enough, then the adversary sent all the New Age friends to accuse him of being bad because not one of them could understand that the adversary was attacking for no good reason at all. So there's a lot in that. There's a lot of meat right there. And I'm going to suggest my listeners listen to this broadcast more than once, download it, so, you know, however you need to do it. But in the spiritual war that we find ourselves in, the adversary will accuse, the adversary will cause doubt. The only tool that I have against that type of an attack is prayer. And let me tell you why. And I've said this on other broadcasts. If you attack with the truth, they'll cling to a lie. But I have found it to be true that if I stay silent and let things play out, they usually trap themselves in their own words and in their own stuff. It takes a long time, but you don't get caught in their ego trap. It's difficult. It's hard to know what to do. Sometimes it's hard to know when to stand up for yourself and when to walk away. Sometimes it's hard to know who to challenge and who not to challenge. Sometimes, but in the grand scheme of things, if you see it in others, and I've had this conversation with somebody else, we were out and about doing things, and it was a diversion, but somebody was in trouble over at the little gas station, Go-Mart thingy bopper, right? And there was obviously blood had been shed. And so I said, can we call for help? And so we went over there and called for help and did all of the stuff, and help hadn't been called yet. And so some triage and scene stuff was taken care of. After that was done, we got back into the vehicle. This person turned to me and she says, Leanna Grace, you're amazing. Now that's a big compliment. You know, I'm not saying that for puffing the air, but you know, here's the thing. And what I turned and said to her was, well, thank you for seeing the best of yourself in me. Because that's basically all it was. You know, I didn't do anything out of the ordinary, but it was a good thing, you know, but it wasn't anything more than anybody else would do. And she saw it as amazing, which means that she has the same stuff in her to be able to appreciate what was going on. I'm hoping that's clearing it up. So she saw this great, you know, she looked at me, she saw this one. No, that's in you. You're seeing what's in you. I mean, I may be the mirror that you're looking at. But if you're seeing it in me, it's because it's in you. And that goes both ways. And that's why in this time of spiritual war and in this time of heavy wickedness, because we're at the apex. It seems like it's coming to the end, but there's going to be a last class. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. But in this time, remember the wickedness wants a fight. Once you involved in a fight, I'm not talking about an argument. I'm not talking about a stance. I'm not talking about standing up for what's right. I'm not talking about fighting back. I'm talking about wickedness wants you in a useless fight to expel your energy so that you're worthless in the real battle. And they'll do that by things picking at you around, little things going wrong here and there, pressure cooker is basically what it is. Full court press. Yes, I was paying attention. So it is a time of pressing. It is a time of pressing. But it's not just a time of pressing believers, you know, and the trial by fire and refining time and sanctification time. It is also a time for us to press back, to reveal the wickedness that we see in front of us, to reveal and speak about the corruption that we see and perhaps know firsthand is going on around us. The only way we'll bring the corrupt, we'll be able to bring these corrupt systems down that are full of wicked players covering for each other's wickedness through many sins. In order to stay afloat, they got to keep committing. That's just the way it is. And they cover each other up. We have to be willing to stand up and say so. We have to be willing to call out what is. We have to be willing to call wickedness, wickedness. And not be respecters of persons. So if there's corruption in the police force, we need the good cops to stand up and say, this is corruption, and report it. If there's corruption in the circuits of the judges, we need the good judges and the good attorneys and all of that to stand up and say, boo, and reveal it. And we need the ecclesia, the northern kingdom, the people in the church, the ecclesia, to be willing at this time to begin to take a fearless moral inventory of themselves in the ecclesia and ourselves as a church body as a whole, as a family of Christ. We say it. Clearing the temple is a messy business. It is not fun. It takes a lot of effort. But it's got to be done. We start with our own temple, and we work our way out. Start locally, inside. It's an inside job. And with our family. And then with our city and our community, and the counties and the state. And it becomes a propagation of good, rather than the propagation of the covering up of corruption. And I'm just going to call it out what it is. There are those who do not want to be revealed. And we need to do that. Why? The scriptures say so. Right? Be not partakers of this wickedness and this darkness, but be revealers of it. That's what we're told to do. Reveal the wickedness and the darkness. Reveal what's going on. Talk about it. Put light on it. Because if we don't know it's there, we can be fooled. If we don't know it's there, we can be fooled. If we don't know the tricks of the adversary, we can be fooled. Eve was fooled. Adam made a choice, according to Paul in the scriptures. She was beguiled. Adam knew better. That's why it's accounted to him. That's grace. Opportunity through all of this, from the first rebellious act to and wantonness to know what sin is. And the first is doubting what God said, being tricked. And now here we are in 2021 talking about how the adversary still beguiles us and still tricks us into misperceptions and acting out against false information. We have to get it right, folks. We need to know the scriptures. We need to have all of the armor on. We need to be well versed in the promises. We need to know the history from Genesis to the Revelation to the Apocalypse. And the Apocalypse is now. It is the Revelation time. We are revealing a lot. Take that in the context as you will. Mainstream media, and that's another factor. Let me back up just a little bit. You know, I have spent some time away when God says not now, it's not now. And I tried to get back on the air, I'd fall asleep and all this. So I had a hard time, you know. It's like, okay, well, I'm off air for a little while. And that was okay. I just didn't understand the instruction. And now I kind of do, because there was a lot that I needed to learn. I had to come face to face with some of my own little things about preconceived ideas of some things, and deal with a little bit of wickedness that was in my heart. You know, there may be a little bit more, but I had to deal with that little bit, right? It was there because it was time. So going forward, what comes first, the sin or the wickedness? It is a chicken and an egg thing, although we know the chicken came first. In the grand scheme of it, what comes first? It's the wicked heart, the heart that tends towards wickedness, that commits the sin. It is the one who's not trusting that is easily beguiled. If we don't know the truth, we could be beguiled into a lie. We can become beguiled into a lie. And we will believe that lie, and we will protect that lie if we have an emotional attachment to it. You say, well, Leanna Grace, this is a whole lot of, it is a whole lot of stuff, because we're talking about wickedness. We're talking about the adversary. And we're talking about our ego. And we'll talk about more of that on Wednesday. But how our ego aligns adversarially when it feels like it's in power. Just thought I'd remind ourselves of Nebuchadnezzar. Right? He was all humble until he stood up and said, look what I built. God said, yeah, I was afraid we were going to get here. Right? I gave you the dream. I told you we were going to get here. And now we're here. So our egos, I do believe, need to be tended to. You know, in the program, in some of the programs of recovery, they talk a lot about the ego in quite the character that it is, and how that it is our ego that gets us in trouble, and it's our pride and things of that nature. And the scriptures say the same thing. So as we look at ourselves and we look at our ego, what is our ego? Our ego keeps us alive. It keeps us protected. And sometimes it makes mistakes while it's doing its job. So I have a book that's not yet published. I wrote it some time ago. It's called Contending for the Faith. And in it, I point out that the personalities are formed. But egos are attached, and Holy Spirit waits to be invited. Now, somebody asked me, it was actually a mental health professional asked me one time, well, what does that mean, egos are attached? You know, when I was talking about this and explaining it, we were having a discussion, and I said, well, egos are attached. The personalities are formed. You know, we're formed by all types of things, but our egos, it seems to me, are attached. They're attached to us, to keep us safe. They're attached to things. They're attached. Our ego's attached to people. Our egos are attached to our survival things, I do believe. So we'll talk about that more on Wednesday, how our ego is attached to our survival and how our ego can be manipulated into self-destruction if we don't know the difference. Yeah, we're going to put it out there on a great big meaty plate and have an overall smorgasbord, because I think it's time. I think it's time to talk about those things that are difficult for Christians and the ecclesia to speak about, but also those things that we all have in common as a human race. And that's there's only one race, and that's the human race. The rest of us are culturally and otherwise colorfully endowed. Some of us are pale faces, and we have to live with this. So there you have that. I am your host, Leanna Grace. It's been my pleasure to bring you the broadcast this evening. I just decided we're going to get on air tonight. God said, yep, tonight. I said, well, I don't have music. He goes, so what? Get on air tonight. I said, okay. So there we go. And that's what we do. There's a lot of things coming down the pike, guys. I want to tell you that I probably will not be on air 3 nights a week. I'm going to go ahead and cut it back during the summertime, just to Wednesday, with Holistic Truth, because there is a series of information that I've had some requests to be teaching, and that is has to do with our spiritual care of ourselves, the ego, empathy, all of those things, the things that make us tick. It's not going to be a whole lot of psychobabble. Hopefully, we may have to bring some psycho and some babble in there. We'll see how that goes. But overall, I want to have just kind of like a down-to-earth, meat and taters kind of discussion about some of the things we do. I might bring some content from my book in too, just kind of the conversation accelerator or whatever to kind of get the juices flowing to show a picture of what we're talking about. And you say, well, Leander Grace, why is it on scriptures and scuttlebutts and all of that that we're going to be talking about egos and stuff and you bring this all up? It's because God made us this way. And I think that because God made us this way, we should perhaps understand it. And if we're going to go forward and the adversary comes and attacks, it could be useful to know where it is that we are the weakest for attack and how those attacks, how come some of those attacks can be successful and why some of those attacks have no chance of being successful at all and what the difference is. So we'll talk about all of that as we bring it to the fore. We're going to start out with Empathy 101. I put it out as a three-day course, but we'll see if we can't go ahead and do some condensed version into it. And maybe, well, we might go ahead and put it out over a couple of weeks. We'll see what God has planned. Basically, I'm on tonight saying, okay, I'm ready to get on air and ready to see what's next, kind of going by faith here. And that's the direction that I've been going simply because the questions that I've been asked. So that's episode 7, guys. Season 1, episode 7, the one that we've been waiting for because I needed to rest and take care of those things that God put in front of me to take care of before I got back on air to speak about it. As we look on the headlines and on the world stage, go ahead and let me clear my throat. Oh, and that's another thing, guys. I wanted to bring up another issue that I had to come off the air with as I have quit smoking tobacco. Is that not amazing? I am officially a non-smoker now. I have had some help with the Vaporella going on, but still nonetheless, no burning tobacco. And I feel much better. My voice is much better. I'm not coughing like I was or excusing myself to clear my throat. And so I had a little bit of a healing mechanism to go through there and get my lungs a little bit stronger. I mean, she's talking for an hour straight without a break. So I think my lungs are doing pretty good. We'll see what the doctor says. All right. I am your host, Leander Grace. We're going to be back on the air on Wednesday night because that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be talking about the holistic truth. And for those of you who haven't listened before and just want to hear it again, holistic truth, for those of you who don't know, is just as you know, we'd have the holistic medicine through the attention of the mind, body, and spirit. Holistic truth deals with healing of the human, the complete human experience through empathy, compassion, and ultimately forgiveness. We'll have to define those terms as we go through the empathy course, through empathics, what they are and what they're not, the physical empathics and the spiritual empathics of it all. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about the ics of it, you know, like logistics, the empathics of it. We'll see if we can't get the logistics of the empathy going on for Wednesday night's broadcast. Now we're just being silly and stretching for time. I am your host, Leander Grace. It's been a pleasure to bring the broadcast for you this evening. I am going to ask for your prayers as I move forward with this ministry step that we're doing. I'm kind of taking a blind leap of faith and step forward and say, okay, now what? And so I'm waiting for the now what? And I may need some assistance from you guys. We'll see how that goes. But we'll have a lot to talk about once we get rolling. That is for sure. So I ask for your prayers in that endeavor as I move forward boldly. It's a little bold for me even, as we move forward boldly in this this stuff that we've got going, and I'll reveal more of it. Just asking for your prayers to stand in the gap, keep the attacks at bay, and the understanding hearts and minds, and keep God in the middle of it. Because if it's meant to be, it'll go forward quickly, and if it's not meant to be, well, it will probably not go forward. I'll bring more on another broadcast once I know a little bit better of how to speak about it. I'm very excited. It's in the middle of it, but I just had to take time out and come back onto the air and finish up this 7th episode on wickedness and sin. So what comes first? It's a good question. Wickedness or sin? I believe it's the wickedness. And then acts of sin follow the wicked heart. And we were given the law to fully outline the difference between when we're crossing the line into wickedness and when we're not. I think that's what it is. I'm going to ask you guys, ask you for some feedback. You can get a hold of me at leandergraceoutloud@protonmail.com. leandergraceoutloud@protonmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. I haven't gotten a mail in a couple of weeks. We are going to bring some listener mail back on Wednesday. I'll share with you some of the conversations that I've had with some of you guys throughout my time off of air. Until next time, that'll be Wednesday at 8 p.m. That time may change. Be ready for a time change simply because the time and the seasons is changing and things often go differently with that. Until next time, I'm reminding you to, as always, to watch for those signposts, to connect the dots, to find your path, to live in love. Oh, I'm looking in the chat room for the first time, guys. I was off on a tangent. Going to interrupt my sign off and say hello to Dorcas, Tawa, Elioso, and Adarte. I want to thank you guys for being here in the chat room, although I didn't really know it. I'm glad that you were here. Hope you enjoyed the broadcast. Again, send me a line, questions, comments, you know, keep it nice and stuff like that. Prayer requests, we'll take that too, because we are starting a prayer chain and a prayer group to take in some of those. We're going to have to do it step by step for me, guys, because if I take on more than I can handle, oof, we might end up being on another sabbatical. I tell you what, we got to pace ourselves through this. Until next time, guys, I'm reminding you to watch for those signposts, connect those dots, find your path, live in love, and do something good as we learn to forgive. Until next time, good night.